This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Power on. Power on.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stahl, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. San Diego. This segment is sponsored by San Diego Carburetor and Fuel Injection, 6622 University Avenue in lovely San Diego. Go to 619-265-2400 if you want to chat, or you can check the website out at sdcarb.com. Stan is the man when it comes to classic cars, bringing your vehicle to perfectly bone stock restoration. He's got all the parts and pieces, does fuel injection as well, and does a lot of work on distributors at San Diego Carburetor and Fuel Injection. And if you have a BMW Mini or a Porsche, the experts are Black Forest Motorsports for over 40 years. That's right, 40 years. 8066 Engineer Road. Go to blackforestautomotive.com for all your Porsche, BMW, and Mini needs. These guys are absolutely excellent. They also race. If you want to get into the racing world, they can help prep a race car for you. If you just want to get general, you know, repairs and your normal maintenance, they can do that as well. All right, no interview for this segment. For all you folks that might be at work and you're kind of bummed that you missed the Daytona 500, well, it hasn't officially rained out. But if you go to Weatherbug and there's only like about another 40 minutes of clear weather, and then it just turns into a torrential downpour, according to the weather site. So it doesn't look good. It looks like it's going to roll over till tomorrow. I can't guarantee it, but it's about 6:12 back there right now. So, I mean, they've got lights. It's not like they can't run at night. And they're going to really be a lot of people bummed out. The only good news is tomorrow is a holiday for most. Not everybody. Brandon has to go to work, so he's not a happy camper. But it is what it is. So keep your, you know, just hang in there, folks. I mean, it's nobody can mess with Mother Nature. Hey, I just got a blast in the mail. Jaguar has celebrated the reveal of their new 2021 Jaguar F-Type in North America by partnering with Hot Wheels to announce a new national engineering scholarship contest, the Jaguar and Hot Wheel Ultimate Track Challenge, and setting a Guinness World Record for the most loops in a Hot Wheel track at the Chicago Auto Show. So I don't know how that turned out. The Jaguar and Hot Wheels Ultimate Track Challenge will be open to college and university engineering programs to partner with their local Jaguar retailer for students to design and build the most complex record-setting Hot Wheels track imaginable, meeting both Hot Wheels and Guinness World Record parameters. Students participating will also have a chance to win a $50,000 donation to the participating institution scholarship fund. A full press release is included below, so they haven't. Well, I'm going to have to dig around and see if I can't get the end results on it. Formula E, I don't know if anybody watched Formula E yesterday. I have to say, they've really gotten their act together. They've really come on. Panasonic Jaguar Racing with Mitch Evans emerged victorious in the 2020 race down in Mexico City. It was a flawless drive for his second starting spot. Chasing Evans home was Diaz Tachidis, Antonio Felix da Costa, while Nissan's Edam Sebastian Buemi rounded off the podium in third. You know, they've really come a long way. They've got the fan vote where you can get more electric juice, which is kind of, kind of interesting. The cars are much better looking than they were in the very, very beginning. They don't seem quite as fragile. They do have just serious, silly horsepower. And all the excuse me, all the big dogs are in there. It's not like any manufacturer is not involved. So, you know, Porsche, Jaguar, you know, they're all pretty hot and heavy on it. So it's nice to see. And again, this, just be ready, folks. This very easily could be the future. I don't know, 100%. You never know. What do we got here? The Xfinity race did run yesterday, and it ran trouble-free, and it was the first win for Noah Gragson. It was more of the same for Dale Earnhardt Jr. It was his team that won, and Gragson was just, he couldn't have been happier if he tried. I mean, it was unbelievable. There was a few accidents, you know, yesterday, but it was all in all pretty great race to watch if you're really into, you know, racing itself. I was very, you know, impressed with the way the whole deal ran down. And if you didn't get a chance to see it, you know, now that you know who the winner is, I guess I could have warned you, but I didn't. Noah Gragson in a Chevrolet came in first. Harrison Burton in a Toyota came in second. Now Burton is the second generation of the Burton family to run. Timmy Hill was third, also in a Toyota. Brandon Jones was fourth in a Toyota. Chase Briscoe was in a Ford. He was fifth. Justin Haley in a Chevrolet was sixth. Brandon Brown in a Chevrolet was seventh. Ray Black, the second, in a Chevy was eighth. Ryan Sieg was ninth in a Chevy. Alex Labby in a Chevy was 10th. Michael Annette was in 11. He was involved in an accident. And then J.J. Yaley was 12th. B.J. McLeod was 13th. Vinny Miller, 14th in a Toyota. Joe Nemechek was in a Chevrolet. He was 15th. Mike Harmon. And by the way, Joe Nemechek, if you didn't get a chance to see his race car, but it was a Trump Pence plastered race car. It was a re-election of Pence and Trump for 2020.
I'm looking that up right now.
Yeah, Joe Nemechek, Nemechek. It was a pretty cool paint scheme, but you got to be a Trump fan to appreciate it. Mike Harmon was 16th in a Chevrolet. Robbie Lyons, a second, was 17th in a also in a Chevrolet. David Starr, he's been running for years and years. He was 18th. In a Chevrolet as well. Jesse Little was in a Chevy, got involved in an accident. He was 19th. Chad Fitchum was 20th in a Toyota. Josh Balicki was in a Toyota, 21st. Ross Chastain, he was in a Chevy. He'd gotten into a little bit of trouble. Jeb Burton, also in an accident. He was 23rd. Brett Moffitt got into an accident, 24th. Austin Cendrick, really sad, 25th. I mean, that was his race to lose. He was involved in an accident driving a Ford. Josh Williams was in a Chevrolet, also an accident, 26th. C.J. McLaughlin, 27th. Jeremy Clements, 28th in a Chevy. 29th, Cesar Barcharella, Chevrolet, also in an accident. Justin Allgaier, he got in an accident, he came in 30th. Matt Miles was in a Toyota, came in 31st, had electrical issues. Riley Herbst was involved in an accident, looks like in the 59th lap. He came in 32nd. Matt Snyder was 33, also in an accident. 34, Chris Cockrum in a Chevrolet. He was involved in an accident. Austin Hill, he was involved in an accident early. He was 35th. And then Joe Graff Jr. Was in an accident, and he also came out 36th. The average speed of the race was 136.64 miles per hour. It took 2 hours, 11 minutes, 44 seconds. Margin of victory under caution, seconds. There were 7 caution flaps for 28, and the lead lap 12 among 8 drivers. So it was quite the race. I enjoyed it immensely myself, so I got a chance to. Not too often do I get a chance to park myself in front of the old telly and enjoy myself. Well, hey, Todd Zalazar should be calling in. He's not yet, but we're going to hope and pray that he makes it. And they just got their schedule out. So Barona now has a schedule. You can actually go there and check out the season and see what races you want to go to. And while you're on their website, maybe you could find something to where you could build a race car. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, a whole lot more right here on Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. Folks, hey, welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170. The Answer. This segment is brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better. Go to ElCajonFord.com, ElCajonFord.com for all your automotive needs, whether you're buying new, used, or even getting serviced. And by the way, they'll service every vehicle in your driveway. That's right. Master technicians, qualified, can take care of any of your automotive needs. And they are big, big supporters of Barona Speedway. Barona's got their schedule out. Just go to BaronaSpeedway.com. Check it out. All kinds of new things going on. And we've got the man, Todd Salazar, the master of the dirt. How you doing, bud?
How's it going, Dave?
Yeah, you know, just living the dream. How about you?
Enjoying my off time from the racetrack.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, it's a lot of people, you guys make it look so easy. And it's a full-time job, folks. And if you don't believe it, the Salazars will let you have it for one weekend, and you'll give it back quicker than you took it.
Yeah, it's a 24/7 deal, yeah. 7 days a week.
But you do enjoy it. I know you enjoy it. I see it on your face, and especially when the night goes well and the racing is fast and safe and on time and the dirt does exactly what you want it to do. You know, that's when it's really worth every minute your whole family puts into it, and you guys all do it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just like with Paul. You know, Paul Dyke and I, we've been friends for more than 20-plus years.
Yeah.
And him doing a race car this year, I'm really stoked about that because we're going to get to spend some time together out there. But
he's going to do a pure stock, right?
No, he's doing a street stock.
Oh, street. Well, did you hear the story behind it? I guess his lovely wife was out of town.
And he told me.
Yeah, picked her up at the airport. And for some reason, she looked at him and said, "You bought a race car, didn't you?" he messed with her all the way home, and there it was sitting in the driveway.
Yeah.
He just wants to win a champ. I think, how many championships has he won out there?
Quite a few. Too many to remember.
And I think he just doesn't have this one on his bucket list, and he's decided to go out there. And really, folks, that is a great class. It's not a lot of money. It's great competition. And I think it's a pretty good-sized class, isn't it?
Well, this year, there's between 4 and 6 new cars.
Oh, wow.
We kind of struggled last year with car counts. Uh-huh. For the street stock class, but the word on the street is that quite a few people are building cars. I think Lyric K9 built one, and Paul did as well. I don't know all the other ones, but I heard there is between 5 and 7 new cars.
And you know as well as I do, Paul Dyke behind the wheel on the track, that's going to be a fun race.
Paul goes knee deep, and whatever kind of car,
yeah.
He goes out there and he just wants to have a good time and win.
That's it.
And I hope that him and Learwell have a good time this year. And that's what it's all about, is, you know, everyone going out there and just having a good time on a Saturday night.
Yeah, and I think he missed it. You know, he got out of it for a while when he took over the reins at El Cajon Ford, which, you know, you think running a racetrack is tough. You know, and he's put a lot of hours into that place. And I think he's just decided, you know what, I think I'm going to go racing. And that's where he seems to be his happiest, when he's at the track.
Well, it's just like with the kids. You know, the kids.
Yeah.
My oldest daughter is the same age as the boy. They're with Justin and PJ.
Oh, my gosh.
And PJ's getting married. I think he's getting married in May or June.
Can you believe
Justin's
that?
Justin's got a career now. And he took some time off, like you just said, and now he just wants to get behind the wheel again.
Well, yeah, because you know as well as I do, once you've been bitten by that bug, it's real hard to get away from it. And the neat thing about Barona Speedway, if you want to go racing, it's not an arm and a leg. You know, you don't have to sell the house. I mean, you can get into it. There's lots of classes you can get into, from the Hornets all the way up, and then the kids. And the thing I like about kid racing out there is you can get your, you don't have to go buy a brand new race car. You just go to the race, go into the pits where the kids hang out, fight, because there's always some kid moving up, and they've always got old equipment that they're ready to let go, which is perfect for a first timer. And you can almost say that about every class you run out there.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the guys start, selling the cars towards the end of the season, and then, you know, when the season is done as well.
Yeah.
And it, I call it the carcology. You know, people move classes, people change, quit racing, you know, whatever.
And then you just repaint it. You repaint it, put your own number on. And I guess probably one of the best stories out there, and I got to get him to KUSI, is Nick Novak.
Oh, yeah, Nick.
Does that not put a smile on your face? I mean, here's a guy that just sitting in the stands. I could do that. And he came in like a bull in a china closet. It was absolutely hilarious, especially his videos.
Yeah. No, and he had an old car that he got from a kid that lived in Campo. And I think he paid $1,000 for the car.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just had a blast last year.
Yeah, I mean, and he won. I mean, he, you know, I think he even surprised himself by winning. But it's really just a, you know, it's no different if you're into bowling or if you're into golf, whatever makes you happy and makes you smile. Except what I like about motorsports out at Barona is, and I say this all the time, and I mean it in the most positive way imaginable, it's like going back to the races in the 50s. You know, when there was not a ton of pressure, it was just tons of fun. The racing was great. The fans loved it. The racers, you had all kinds of different classes of racing, like you say, from the little kids all the way up to the old guys. And it's just a great night. You don't charge parking. You know, you don't charge anybody if they want to stay overnight, you know, as long as they're self-contained. You know, it's, you guys are, there's so many other ways you can make money and you don't. And I just truly applaud you and the family for thinking of the families, because you know as well as I do, you've got a family. You try, just take your family out to dinner sometime. Holy moly, you got to sell a hubcap before you can go anywhere.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, the cool thing about it, it's like, you know, hold on, Ty. It's like with the Baldwins.
Uh-huh.
We bought one of Billy's kids' cars for my 9-year-old, for my daughter.
Sure.
And they spend the whole weekend together, and they make it a family affair.
Yeah. And it builds relationships. It teaches your kid how to work with others. It teaches your kid how to win and lose. There's none of, you know, I mean, it's such a learning experience for children to grow up in, and you meet some of the greatest friends. You know, I see old Cajon Speedway drivers every once in a while out and about, you know, especially over like at Izzy's for breakfast. And I'll buy them breakfast just because they gave such a great show. And your guys are doing exactly the same thing. It just happens to be dirt.
Yeah. No, it's a good, you know, it's a good time.
Yeah.
People, I think the spectators have a good time. And
the
racers, if they don't crash, they have a good time.
Even if they crash, they have a good time. Because you know what? If they can't fix it, somebody in the pits, if they've got the parts and pieces to get them out there, they'll get them out there. If they can't, well, guess what? We're all going to get together next week and we'll get you out there for the next race. And I think that's the beauty. Now, you did get the schedule out. Anything outstandingly different about the schedule this year? Or is it kind of the same? I know you're bringing the lightning sprints back more often than you did before. I mean, they just turned out to be such a success story.
Yeah, well, this is a breakoff group of them that Brent Sexton is heading up. It's just it's the mini sprints, but they're calling them lightning sprints.
Okay.
So we have them 10 dates.
Oh, great.
And then the compacts, that'll be the new one as well. That's going to be on a regular basis.
Is that Hornet?
I don't have.
Is that the Hornet class?
Yes. Yes. But I believe what it says, what Tricia wrote down was IMCA sports compact. So I'm assuming that we will be IMCA sanctioned for those.
Wow.
So awesome. So that we can go with I'm assuming Kokopo are going to have the, you know, the IMCA sanctioned as well.
Yeah. And that's, yeah, I haven't been out to that track yet. Have you been out there?
Yeah, we went, when did we go? We went Mother's Day last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then next weekend, we're going down to Yuma. We're going to see some friends. Uh-huh. I don't know if we're going to make the races or not, but it's a beautiful facility. We had a really nice time. We were down, Troy, my mom, Tricia, and my kids went.
Yeah.
And we had a good time. It's a beautiful facility.
That's what I've heard. Nice. I've heard nothing but good about it, and it's not that far from San Diego. What's it, a couple hours?
Yes. Probably pulling a trailer, it's probably 2.5 hours.
Yeah. I mean, I got to tell you, that's no different than Paris Auto Speedway. I mean, either way, you know, it's about that same distance, mainly for me because I live in Alpine. So I know you guys are working with those guys over there to get their racers to come to us and our racers to go to them. I just think that's huge because that's going to keep this sport alive and well.
It's the tracks working together.
Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah, because you can't hold it all to yourself.
Yeah, Brad and Troy have made a real good friendship with each other. He was just here 2 weeks ago. Troy's been going lobstering, and Brad brought us, he's gone twice, and Brad brought his brother over last week, and they went down to the bay, and they went lobstering.
No.
They got like 10, 12 lobsters. They had a real good time.
Yeah, I'll just go to Point Loma Seafood. Thank you very much. I'll take that fat boy right over there. That's the way I go lobstering.
That's what I'm talking about, too. I'm not going out there and freezing my you-know-what's off.
No. And I keep telling everybody, that is a very large toilet, and no one's flushed it, okay, folks? No one has ever flushed it. So I go to Point Loma. Yeah. Now you made me hungry. I haven't been there in a while. I got to go back out there. But yeah. So talk to me about dirt, because I understand, I think I seen something on Facebook that you brought in another couple of truckloads.
We've got like 50 loads stockpiled. Troy got some dirt, and the rain had come, so we couldn't get the Super 10s through the pit gate.
Oh.
So I just stockpiled it up in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to bring a loader in and some Super 10s, and I'll load it up and get it out on the track.
You love doing that. You love playing in the dirt.
My wife's cousins, they're in the dirt business too. And we're going to get all them out there with the lasers and all that stuff. And we're going to reshape the track, and we're going to reconfigure, you know, the whole track, put some more banking in it, and, you know, change a few things around.
Oh, do you hear that, drivers? This is going to be exciting. All right, buddy. Hey, thank you very much for taking time out of your day and the rest of your deadbeats. Hey, they see one skiing and another one. I don't know what the other ones are doing.
He called. I talked to him on Friday, and he Thursday night, and he said, "Yeah, we're going skiing." And then I'm like, "Okay." So we just hung out at home this weekend, just hanging out with the kids and all that stuff.
You knew it was coming. You knew this phone call was coming.
I'm in denial still.
Yeah, I know you are. You did a great job, buddy, and we always love having you guys on. And folks, you got to get out to Barona Speedway because you got to keep that track alive and well. Don't let Barona go through the same insane, you know, Cajon Speedway, because everybody complains about not having Cajon. Well, there's no reason. You got the best track on the planet out there, and if you haven't seen dirt, you haven't lived. Thanks, buddy. BaronaSpeedway.com.
Have a great day. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, buddy. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Guess what? We got the Racing Highway Patrolman. That sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? I don't know. I'll have to talk to him about that. See if he ever gives himself a ticket. Right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. You are listening to FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. This segment is brought to you by the good folks at Paris Auto Speedway. If you've not been to that half-mile dirt/clay track, you have missed out. 18700 Lake Paris Road in Paris, California, right next to the fairgrounds off to 215. Take a run up. It's a couple-hour drive. Nothing bad at all. ParisAutoSpeedway.com. Their schedule is up, and let me tell you, you're going to love it. And with that being said, we got Jeff Dyer on the line. Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
That's going pretty well.
The Racing Highway Patrolman. Now, that's a heck of a title, my friend.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, sure it is. So how long have you been racing?
I've been racing dirt cars since 2013.
Oh, wow. What got you into it?
I just kind of grew up around it, raced go-karts for a while, and then once I got old enough to buy my own stuff, I did.
Yeah, and I hear you're doing pretty good last year.
We did all right. We had a decent season overall.
Change anything big for this year?
Yeah, we actually changed quite a bit on our Lightning Sprint. We went out and ran it yesterday, and it all seemed pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
My wife decided to become a car owner in the off season too, and bought me a 360 Sprint car. So we're going to be doing that a little bit this year. So it should be fun.
You must have taken really good care of her at Valentine's Day is all I got to say, my friend.
Yeah, yeah.
She's not a tough car owner, is she? Is she going to expect you to win every race?
I hope not, because you know, we're still trying to figure this stuff out. So we'll see.
Yeah,
I hope not. Hopefully she doesn't fire me.
Yeah, there hasn't been a book on this that I'm aware of, you know, because, you know, we are running dirt, okay, and this changes what? Every minute or every lap, the track really changes just depending on what's on the track. Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, for sure.
But hey, as long as you're having fun and the whole family gets involved, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a family affair in our house.
Yeah.
We're pretty much all self-funded, and you know, my son's involved, my stepdaughter's involved, and now my wife's involved. So I mean, she's always been pretty involved, but now she's getting more into it.
All right. Well, since you have a new boss, I'm going to offer you something. If you want to, you know, trek down to San Diego with the race car and the family, come down on a Saturday night, maybe go to Barona, and then the next morning bring your rig to a local television. I'll do that for you, if nothing else, for your sponsors to kind of give back to them. You know, by putting them on the number one watch morning show in San Diego. But I would, you know, correlate with, you know, coming down here for a staycation or something. And I'm happy to do it. Just get all my contact info from Scott. And, you know, and I always tell these, because I deal with a lot of young drivers on radio. And the most important thing I tell them is you got to give back to your sponsors. And a sticker is not everything. You got to, you know, if they want you to come to their business and display, you need to do that. You need to get on radio, you need to get on TV, you need to talk about them a lot. So it doesn't make any difference what age you are, you know, if you're racing, you need those sponsors, because it is not an inexpensive sport, you know, especially when you start moving up into the 360 classes. Yeah, that could get a little pricey if you start destroying equipment.
Yeah, sponsors are a big help for sure. You know, I've had some pretty loyal sponsors throughout the years. John Springstead's one of the biggest ones. You know, he's helped us out a lot with this 360 car. I mean, he gave us a motor, so
wow,
that's a big help. You know, just little things. But now that we're starting to put it together, we're seeing, you know, we need some more, you know, wheels and
yeah,
you know, some stuff. This just starts adding up after a little while, but we'll get it finished. We plan on probably starting out our 360 stuff probably later in the year, probably later spring, early yeah, summer for that. But we're still going to be racing the 410 car with Cal Smith. So
excellent.
That'll give me more seat time in the sprint car. So
yeah. And that's truly what you need. Now, let me tell you, the more seat time you get, the better off everything will be. And yeah, that sounds like a ton of fun. Okay. I have to ask, what color is your car? Is it black and white? Come on, tell me it's black and white.
No, it's actually blue and black.
No, you got to be black and white. You got to put your own highway patrol. You got to put lights on top of it. Trust me, you get to the front, just hit the switch, the lights go off, the siren. Wouldn't that be a hoot? Wouldn't that? I mean, come on, would that not be a hoot?
Yeah, actually, a couple years ago, we actually, not last year, but the season before, we actually had the car black and white. It actually looked pretty cool, and I got a lot of publicity, but I like to kind of be... I kind of like to do my own thing, separate my work from my racing. So
yeah.
That's why we switched it up.
Yeah, but, you know, well, I mean, I think just about most of the, I know the sheriff department, they've got a dragster. There's a lot of police departments and sheriff's department and even highway patrol that campaign race cars. I know they don't use any of the city money. They use their out of their own pocket. But it seems to me like there's a lot of you guys and girls that do like to go racing.
Yeah, it's actually really good. They try to promote it as a stay off the street and
right.
race on a racetrack, you know, and, you know, it's pretty cool. I know the sheriff has a big racing program. I know the highway patrol, they do a lot of events at uh-huh. the drag races and the NASCAR stuff. It's pretty cool just to make aware that, you know, racetracks are for racing and not the city streets, you know. And yeah, that's a deadly thing.
Yeah, and I tell people, I go, because people ask me all the time, you know, I had a Lamborghini Huracan Performante the other day. And if anybody asked me once, they asked me 75 times, how fast did you go? How fast did you go? I says, well, 72, maybe 74 miles an hour. What? You didn't take it over 100? I said, yeah, at Thermal Raceway is where I took it over 100 miles an hour. Well, how come you didn't do it on the street? I said, because you can't drive. Well, what do you mean by that? I said, I can't trust you. I mean, you're out there. You don't know where you're going. I mean, you're listening to the radio, and you're going to think you're going to outrun me? No. I'm not even going to give you that opportunity. Because, you know, that's where the accidents happen, when people think they can outdrive. And nothing I hate worse than somebody saying, hey, hop in this hot car, I'll show you how. No. I'm not getting anywhere near you. Or because anytime you're going to show off, you're going to wreck. That's kind of, I mean, if I keep that mentality, I'm good.
Yeah, that's a good mentality to have, because it's always the unknown that's going to get you most
yeah.
of the time. So.
Yeah, and in a race car, at least they're all going the same direction, at least on the freeways. That's not the case at all. And let me tell you, there's the people out there coming up, they're not going to driving schools. They're not. They're getting their license, and it's just bumper cars. And that just gives me cold chills. But that's another.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, that's another spot. So, now, did you say you had any kids? I think you said you had a step.
Yeah, I have. I have two boys and a stepdaughter.
You got the boys or the girls racing yet?
My youngest boy is gonna probably start this year. I'm not sure about my stepdaughter. She was interested at one point. We haven't really talked about it in a while, so she's more turned into a girl these days. So
well, it's cheaper when you don't.
I'm not sure.
it's cheaper if you don't talk to them about it.
Yeah, I agree. Plus, if the more I get them in, I'm gonna have to stop one of these days. I'm
well,
not ready to stop yet.
So. And you're not ready to stop yet, right?
No, not even close.
Well, hey, if they want to get into it, say, here, no problem. Get out there, get you a sponsor, get a car. I'll help you. I'll take you there. But you're going to have to do it yourself. And you'd be surprised how many kids have the fortitude to do that.
Yeah, my youngest, he's really into it now. He helps me out quite a bit. You know, we call him the crew chief. And he works real hard, and he's learning, and so I think it's time to start letting him get behind the wheel. So
yeah, how old is he?
He's 13.
Oh, you're done. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if he's already busting his little butt and he's out there helping you do whatever you ask him to do, and he'd rather do that than play video games, then you're on the right track. You're truly on the right track.
Yeah, it's a very, very cool thing. So
how do people follow you around? Yeah, are you doing any of that insane social media?
I have a Facebook page, and I'm real terrible at updating. I don't do the Instagram or the Twitter.
Yeah,
just for my professional aspect of my life.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I do have a Facebook. You can look us up on Dyer Motorsports. Okay. It hasn't been updated for a bit, but maybe if people start following, I'll start paying more attention to it.
You need to hire. There's what your daughter can do. She can be your social media. You know,
I could probably talk her into doing something like that.
Hey, that'd be cool. Yeah, see, then you get on Instagram and all that. I know I do it. I have no clue what I'm doing. I only do it because of radio and TV, but I have no clue. I don't answer anybody. I don't look at any of the comments. I just post.
I know my son has an Instagram. I've had to tell him to cool it a few times.
Yeah.
Get me in trouble behind the scenes. But other than that, that's about as far as the social media I got going on.
Hey, I got an 89-year-old mother-in-law, okay? It's way worse than what you're dealing with, let me tell you. Thank God her last name is not the same as mine, because she just gets too opinionated at that tender age, and that's the last thing I need. So now in the Lightnings, are you going to run the full season at Paris, or are you going to move around?
The Lightning Sprints, I plan on running the full season. I'm going to give it one last go for the championship, and then see how we prepared pretty well for the season.
Okay.
The sprint car, I'm going to run that as much as I can. We're going to start off in Arizona here in the beginning of March.
Cool.
And then race that as much as I can. And then once I get my 360 going, we're going to race that at Ventura mostly. And then select shows with the USAC West Coast stuff on there. At Bakersfield and closer places like that.
All right. Well, if you want to bring the family down and go to SeaWorld or Wild Animal Park or the zoo, I'll put your race car on KUSI. So you just get that information
from
Scott.
I appreciate that.
And I'm happy to help you, buddy.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, folks. That's Jeff Dyer. Keep an eye out for him. What's the number of your car?
My Lightning Sprint's number 4, and the CRA Sprint car is going to be number 39.
There you go, folks. All right, buddy. Take care. Say hi to the family. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Thank you.
All right, folks. This is FM 96.1 AM 1170. The Answer. All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. You are listening to FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. The segment brought to you by Certified Car Clinic, 11370 North Woodside Avenue in lovely Santee. Go to certifiedcarcare.net. That's certifiedcarcare.net. They can work on your everyday car. They can work on your race car, your off-road buggies, your dune buggies, you name it. They're very talented folks over there, and they can do it all. They also have a whole specialty department. If you want to put those tricked out under the hood lines and hoses and braided fuel lines, hosespecialties.com, hosespecialties.com. Go to 619-562-4750 right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. Well, we got Norm DeWitt on the line. We were going to talk about the NASCAR race out of Daytona. But I haven't seen anything posted. But Norm, looks like it's going to be postponed till tomorrow.
Well, yeah, it was. You know, it was basically it started out as a campaign stop, and it went for 20 laps, and then got rained out.
Yeah, I watched. I got on the Weather Channel and just thought I would take a look, and the only opening was like for 1 hour, and the rest of it, like from this point on, it's raining pretty hard.
Yeah, it was pretty obvious that they weren't gonna get it in today. So, you know, admittedly, it's probably a good thing to have a president show up, and as did Ronald Reagan back when Petty's 200th win. Although what I liked about Reagan is he got there and went up into the stands and watched the race, and then after the race, Richard Petty got out of his car, climbed the stands, and went up. Be congratulated by him, so you know
that's pretty huge.
That wasn't going to be in the cards today. It was just going to be a quick hit and out of there, you know. But that was kind of cool because that was a great Daytona, a great firecracker 400,
yeah.
As they used to call the race on July 4th. That was a great firecracker finish that day.
Now Richard Petty won his 200th race, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. And then soon afterwards, in the next race, I think they disqualified his car for having a drastically oversized engine. And so everyone always will kind of wonder.
Who? Richard Petty cheating?
Well, you know, I mean, NASCAR was always kind of the province of 7/8 scale Chevelles and and the banana Galaxy 500, where the whole tail of the car like swept up like a banana, you know. So you know, it's if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, I suppose, was always the mantra.
Well, and the funny thing about it, you name me another sport to where you're rewarded not today, but back then, you were rewarded for cheating. I mean, if you were really good at it, they made you the technical inspector for NASCAR.
You know, it's always been an arms race between the people who write the regulations and enforce the regulations and the people who are building the racing cars. And, you know, this has been going, this is nothing new.
No.
Mm-mm. This is going on since the beginning of racing. You saw it at maybe at its most extreme when Granatelli would show up with his turbine cars, or maybe Penske showed up with the Ilmor pushrod engine at Indianapolis in 94. That was, you know, it was going 20 miles an hour faster than anything else down the straights.
Yeah, and they just looked at everybody. Like, I don't know why, but you know, we just tuned it up, and you know,
everybody knew why. What had happened is there was an aberration in the rules that allowed pushrod engines to have a lot more power because you know they tended to fall apart. There was just, they wrote the rule around the Buick.
Yeah,
and so Ilmor and Penske were smart enough to see this glaring loophole in the rules, and they drove two cars right through that loophole. George actually once told me, because I was pushing for a race with an IRL and a champ car, something like Quester Grand Prix was back between Formula 5000 and Formula 1 in 1971.
Uh-huh.
And he said he absolutely was opposed to equivalency formulas, and he told me that there are those, and I got the impression that Tony was one of them, that thought the stupidest, the most ridiculous thing that was ever allowed to happen at the Indianapolis 500 was that Ilmor stock block car in 1994.
Yeah, I'm sure. Hey, not switching gears, did you get a chance to watch the E-Race yesterday?
No, I did not. No.
Are you a fan?
Well, you know, I was. There have been times when I was sitting down with some of the other drivers and looked at them and mentioned Formula E, and we all just looked at each other and started laughing, you know? But it is apparently getting better.
Yeah.
I know Felix Del Costa, who was driving the BMW M8 at Le Mans last year.
Mm-hmm.
He won a couple races last year on the Andretti team.
Right.
And he told me that I really need to give it another chance because he says, yeah, it was crap in the beginning, but it's way better now.
Well, I watched it yesterday intentionally. I didn't watch the whole thing because I didn't like the way it was, the announcers were calling it. It was a little convoluted. And, you know, and where they give you the names and everything on the sidebar so you know where everybody's at. He didn't really explain it. You know, you didn't know what kind of car they were driving. But as the race itself, it looks to me like they really made the tires smaller than they did in the past, you know, last season. But the racing has seemed much quicker than before.
There's no question the cars are much faster. And they've got all this goofy stuff, like you pull into this lane and you get an extra boost of power.
Yeah.
And you know, it's almost like a slot car. It's like a slot car. Some point, and then there's still fan boost, I believe.
Yeah.
Last I heard, they still had fan boost, where people vote for their favorite driver so that they get more horsepower.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting. You know, I got it, but it, you know, it was again, you know, it's
that's one of us that gets it. Sometimes at the nonsense that they have been trying to get the gamers to actually pay attention to what's going on in Formula E.
Well, you know, now that you bring that up, that series of racing is even more popular than it has been. You know, the iRacing series. I mean, these kids, and some of these kids are coming right out of that and getting behind the wheel of a race car and doing quite well.
I was at Le Mans in 2015 when one of the drivers in the Nissan prototype, the P1 hybrid that ended in such disarray, one of their drivers had come from winning some sort of Nissan competition for gamers.
Yeah.
And he had, you know, I don't think he really blotted his copybook or anything. He did okay. But kind of a bit of disconcerting when a guy with very minimal experience is going to be driving a P1 hybrid prototype.
I know. Have you ever done that? Have you ever gotten behind the wheel? I mean, not just with a computer, but have you ever actually gotten in a simulator and done that?
Yes, I did. I actually was in a Formula E simulator racing against three other guys at I think it was at the LA Auto Show years ago on press day. And there was four of us racing, and I got on the box, but I didn't win, that's for sure.
Well, you know, so I don't see the comparison to where if you win in that series, that you can go get into a real race car. See, I either must have been missing something, but, you know, I didn't get that feel that you need when you're racing. You know, the adhesion to the track between the tire and you. I didn't get that. It was easy to oversteer. It was easy to lose control. And I know e-racing, you know, it's especially simulators and toys, it's all about being steady. So, I don't know. There is a simulator company up in Laguna Niguel. I cannot think of the name of it to save my life. But I was invited up there to try it out. The thing was like 25 feet in the air, and it looked like a big spider. And I tell you what, that got my attention. You know.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit similar to the Dallara simulator.
Right.
And John Alesi used that to prepare for driving for the Indy 500. And, of course, being John Alesi, who likes a car that oversteers.
Yeah, might be
he ended perfect. up with a bunch of settings that were just freaking out all the Dallara people running the simulator because they'd never seen anybody who wanted a loose car at Indianapolis.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
John Alesi, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I can't think of the guy's name. Guerrero? Was it him? Maybe.
Roberto?
Yeah, Roberto. Yeah, he was working with this company, and we had done an interview, and he invited me to come up, and it was, and he asked me to pick whichever track you want, and it had like three flat screens. So I said, well, Le Mans, if I'm going to do anything, since I've never been there, let's give that a try. And I was going down the Mulsanne straight and didn't go into the turn right and went off, and you could literally, it shook the snot out of you. It felt like you're in the gravel, and I mean, it was violent. I mean, this thing was violent. So but that was what, $500,000, I think, for that simulator. So,
well, what really messes you up is if you're thinking it's a different version of the track than it is.
Uh-huh.
Like it's a 70s version of Le Mans.
That's true. That's true.
There's no chicanes, you know.
Hey, how's that book sales doing?
Making it faster and making it faster too are out there selling, and they're getting reviews. All Roger right. Pence likes it a lot.
Yes, indeed. And congratulations on your award. We appreciate seeing that. So, folks, go check that book out, whether you want to be a race car driver or not. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you.
All right. FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. Don't go anywhere. Gun Sports Radio, right around the corner.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.